Hey, y'all, if you enjoy watching your podcast, which seems kind of weird, watching your podcast, but some people really enjoy that. So we have a YouTube channel. You can find it at Heather Parady, P-A-R-A-D-Y. It's also linked up in the show notes. You can hit subscribe. And several of these interviews are actually in person, so you can watch that. Again, that is at Heather Parady on YouTube.
Joel Byers is an Atlanta-based comedian who recently won Clean Comedian of the Year. He's also the host of Hot Breath. I say that a little weird, Hot Breath. A show dedicated to helping aspiring creatives advance in their career. Joel has interviewed world-class comedians and led his listeners through a very authentic and real journey of what it means to be a professional creative. And even though I'm not a comedian, I listen to almost everything this dude puts out. I interviewed him about a year ago, but wanted to have him back on again to give me an update on his aspirations and dreams beyond how I do. And it ended up kind of deep. We talked about spirituality. Are we becoming who we really want to become? And I asked him if he smoked weed. Just curious. So good luck on this conversation, y'all. This, my friends, is the one and only Joel Byers.
When you talk about meditation, setting intention, all that stuff, do you have like a certain religion that you are, or are you just a spiritual dude? This is too personal.
No, I mean, Christianity, I grew up a Christian.
What does that mean? That means a lot of things.
See, I don't know what any of that means. I mean, I went to non-denominational churches.
One.
Yeah.
Are you genuinely okay if the show, your work, your comedy never, quote, makes it? Like, for real. You're on a microphone, don't lie to me. Is this whole thing of like service informed by spirituality, or am I reading too much into this? Never mind. Moving on.
God, this is gonna get deep real quick. How many minutes? We're like 3 minutes into this and I'm sweating over here.
I can't believe you did this again.
Of course. I'm so excited to be here.
You're so nice.
I'm so excited.
The last time was so bad, and I felt so bad because I was really excited about talking to you because I, you know, listened to your podcast and all that stuff. And then it was just like tech hell, but that's what happens when you try to do things on your own and not leave it to professionals.
Yeah. And a lot has changed since then.
I know. Tell me what your most... Dry Bar was filmed, and it was about to come out.
Right.
I think last time we talked.
That took a while to come out. So I filmed that, and then I was so focused on my personal YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
which was popping.
I was like, yeah, this is the thing. And then it wasn't the thing, which
is
fine.
This is like the creative path, isn't it?
This is the thing that it's not. This is the thing that reminds me that I haven't found the thing yet.
What happened with YouTube?
It was just me trying to throw money at a problem, probably. Because I listened back on our episode, and it was where I have a YouTube team, and this is the thing.
Mm.
But I had to revisit what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And I really had
to... We're already getting in the good stuff,
dude. I had to take all the way the step back, yeah.
So... I feel, but we'll fast forward in a second, but let's just pause there for a minute, because I feel that, and I feel frustrated with myself a lot, because I was just having coffee with another creative friend, and we haven't talked in a few months, and it's literally everything that she had going on a few months ago is completely different, and same with me, and I'm old. Like, I need to get my shit together. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't a game for me. I really have to be so intentional with everything that I do, and it gets frustrating sometimes when you pour a lot into something and then you just constantly are reversing and shifting. But I feel like it's just the creative curse.
Yes. And just being persistent with that and being consistent with it and being willing to try new things and open to new ideas. And it's really helped to take a step back and reflect on what do I want to do? What do I want my life to be in 10 years? Who do I want to be? What do I want to be known for? At that time we met last time, I was doing a lot of things for an expected outcome of like, I'm going to create a video about Bill Burr because then he's going to see it and then he's going to love me and everyone else will love me. Or it was all based on something out of my control anyway. And it was funny to listen back to our first episode where I was talking about with my podcast that it wasn't about the famous people on there. It was about the community. And I didn't really, despite me saying that, I wasn't really living that until this year, which was very interesting. And as soon as I started to not only say it, but actually live it, I took the pressure off of having to try to make my podcast this thing that it isn't. It already is what it's supposed to be. And now I'm able to do these clean comedy workshops that sell out every time, just because instead of trying to form the podcast to be what my ego wants it to be, and it's got to be this big, famous, and everybody wants to be on it, it's a community of comedians that like helping each other. And I've interviewed successful comedians that like helping comedians.
Right.
But the show isn't supposed to be like this big, like how I built this platform. I think there is opportunity for me to host a show like that in the future.
Yeah.
But for the time being, I think my podcast, Top Breath, just gave me the skill sets that I can then start to expand not only within that community and help them learn those skills, but also to apply them to other endeavors as well.
God, this is going to get deep real quick. How many minutes? We're like 3 minutes into this and I'm sweating over here. What you said, it'd be easy to just like, well, that's cool and that's nice, Joel. But the implication of what you're saying is actually pretty weighty. And my insecurity flares up when you say all that stuff because I struggle so hard with what is ego, Heather, talking, and then what is, I don't know if you've read Arnold, God, why do I always have to say his name? Arnold Hess. I can't even say Kubacha. Anyway, his title of his book is Be Useful. Mm-hmm. And I felt really, here's a Christian term for you, but very convicted listening to that, because my mind isn't always like what is useful. It's like what grows and what works. And when you're saying all this, I really admire it. And I'd love to say that that's the way that I operate.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. And I want, let me just push into it a little bit more. So are you genuinely okay if the show, your work, your comedy never, quote, makes it? Like, for real. You're on a microphone, don't lie to me.
Well, it's the definition of make it. I think my definition of making it for a long time was being rich and famous, and everything I do is rich and famous. But now it's more about doing something I'm proud of that actually has a positive impact on the world. Now, I also want it to make a good, stable income that I can then create from a sense of wonder and not of necessity of, oh, I've got to do this because I've got to. AT&T, you know, they don't accept positive karma. You know, you gotta make money somehow. So I'm great with where everything is at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for where my career is right now. I'm certainly not complacent, and I have high expectations for myself and high expectations for what I want my life to become. But as long as what I've learned in doing a lot of work on myself and really exploring what does make me happy and what I want my impact to be on the world, that as long as I'm making decisions from that place, then I'm happy with whatever the outcome is.
So what shifted from last year to now?
Well, last year I was 35 and thought I was old, and then
I'm about to punch you in the face.
It was like I went through somewhat of a little bit of a crisis of, oh my gosh, I've been working 14 years to be a professional comedian, and I realized I don't know if that's the life I want. I have friends.
Really?
I have friends who have done very well in comedy, and they're on the road all the time.
Right.
They're never home.
Right.
They have to go on the road to make their money. And that really struck me as I took a step back, as I was on the road a good bit, and I could see, I just see where the trajectory of that is going. Mm. This thing I've been working over just 14 years to pursue, I'm getting it, and now I'm like, oh no, I don't think that's what I want to do. I want to be home. I want to be gardening.
I love your gardening stuff. That makes me so happy. It's so human and relatable, and it's just
that's. I mean, that's what my ideal life now is, that I host a gardening show.
Like, no way, really?
Like Anthony Bourdain, but for like gardens. I'm all about gardening now. So I enjoy comedy, and I enjoy doing stand up,
yeah.
And I enjoy the positive impact it has on the world. That is not my only identity anymore. For a long time, I was a comedian and a podcaster that interviews comedians, and now I'm looking for other facets of my life. So what really changed is hitting this moment in my career of, I don't even know if I want to do the thing I've been working all this time to become. Okay, well, what does that even mean? Who do I want to be?
I'm
still in this process. But therapy helps as well.
Preaching.
I did like an exercise for this framework called Ikigai, which is like a Japanese concept.
Circles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like what you love, what you can get paid for, what the world needs, and then a fourth one.
Skills
you have. So, and then you find the intersection of all those. And I'm still...
He's like, I found gardening.
Yeah. What I found was connections. So I found the thing I want to do in everything is whatever I do and decide to do, I must be having a connection either with another person or I'm connecting other people or I'm connecting myself to a new experience. That's basically all I've learned from that so far. But ever since I started living from that mindset and that intention, it's really helped me to be more grateful in whatever outcome happens.
Yeah.
So it's still it's an ongoing process.
Right.
So I don't know what I'm going to do.
You know, one thing I wish I would have, and I don't know, I should have asked you if you feel comfortable talking about this. You can tell me no if you don't. But the last time we talked, I really wanted to hear a little bit more about just kind of your worldview with like spirituality and so forth.
Okay.
Because, and not to throw my experience on you, I have no idea if you can relate to this. You're like, you're crazy. But I started off my life as a baby, but when I got older, my intention was always to be in ministry. That was the calling on my life. I knew that's what I wanted to do. I didn't play dress up and all that. I played church. I was the preacher.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I went to ministry school and I did all that stuff. And I was full heart, soul into that. And so it was just embedded in me all the way through my 20s and about when I hit 30 of service. And everything you were saying a moment ago about what you want to be now was what I wanted. And then stuff happened. And when I shifted into creator entrepreneurial space, I want to stay connected to kind of that deeper calling.
Mm-hmm.
But also, too, I love growth and I want to build. And it's been really hard reconciling both those worlds. And that's why I was being honest with you, saying my ego gets caught up a lot and I have to check it, where I'm like, this will pop, this will work, you know, whatever. And not staying grounded in what I believe God's put me on this earth to do is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I just threw up all over you. But however you want to tackle that, I'm just curious. I know your spirituality means a lot to you. Mm-hmm. And that's why you choose, I think, to do clean comedy and kind of lead the – well –
yeah.
You're a youth pastor.
I look like a youth pastor.
We've established
I look
that.
Like a youth pastor, so I can't be dirty. And I've always been naturally just a clean comedian, so it's just what organically comes
but
funny
is,
to me.
Is this whole thing of like service informed by spirituality, or am I reading too much into this? Never mind. Moving on. Next question.
It was a lot. Let me digest it. You know, there could be a moment there. We can have a breath. You're like, never mind. Never mind. Forget it. Let's just restart the podcast. Never mind. No, I wanted to give it a proper thought because I do feel like there is a connection between the two, and it's difficult because I want to be a good person.
That's good.
And I strive to be a good person, but that doesn't always mean, like I read a book recently that no more Mr. Nice Guy. It's just because you're a nice person doesn't mean you then deserve certain things.
Ooh, what do you mean?
Well, in the book, it basically breaks down a few different ways of just because you're nice and help people doesn't mean you're then going to become whatever you want to be. You still have to be intentional about knowing who you are and taking proactive action. Like you you can't just be nice and then everything in your own life take care of itself. So you also have to give yourself attention. And just like being a people pleaser and wanting to help people all the time, you really have to help yourself first at the end of the day. So, and a big thing in that book that I came away with was me always wanting to give. I did an exercise of what do I want people to say at my funeral? And it was that he gave more than he got. And in reading that book and therapy, one of the takeaways from the book was you also have to be open to receiving. So a lot of times if you're always trying to give to people, you're not also leaving room for you to receive blessings as well. So that was a big mindset shift. And when I go into an opportunity where I want to help or serve, it's also remembering that, oh, well, be open to anything that may come back your way and leave room for that and not just always trying to be a people pleaser. So I think in to sum all of that up, I can't not but believe there is a connection between the two, between spirituality and what was it, wanting to be a good person?
Kind of the connection? Draw for you to step back and say, you know what, it's not about Joel being rich and famous. I'm really here to serve community. I didn't know if that was informed through spirituality or just something that maybe you just said, hey, this actually just makes me happier.
Yeah, it probably has to connect in just that I am spiritual. I do meditate. I do pray. I do work on being intentional and having before even coming here, driving here, I was like, I want to connect in this interview. I want to be my authentic self and say these things out loud. And whatever comes of that may be, but at least being more intentional about what I do. So, yes.
What drew you to comedy?
It was always fun, and it was always a way to, in school, if there was a group project, I could make people laugh instead of having to do any of the work in the group project. Sneaky. So that was it was a mechanism there. It was a way I changed schools a lot, so it was a way to make new friends fast. So it's just always something I was naturally good at. And then when I tried it, I thought, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And it still is. Earlier I said, oh no, I've been doing this 14 years. Yeah. I don't want this life. It's more of that life of living on the road that I'm not wanting to pursue. I'm open to still going on the road. I mean, anyone listening to this, I am open for bookings. I want that to be clear. I'm still doing stand-up. I still enjoy the process. I'm writing new material since my dry bar special has come out. So I'm still a comedian. It's just that's not the only thing anymore.
Right.
So I'm finding other creative outlets that can then feed into my comedy. Because you learn a lot of skills from being a comedian that then can apply to other businesses as well.
Totally. I don't, I'm getting really deep and weird and woo-woo with you, and I wasn't going to, so I don't really know what's happening.
You
so
never, I'm you would sorry. Never do that. No.
Never. That's never the show, ever. I had a friend on the other day, and like he texted me when it was over with, and he was like, good God, I'm like sitting over here sweating. Like, that was intense. I'm sorry.
No, I love it.
It's kind of like a big aha moment for me. I just started therapy for the first time in my life, and oh my God, do I need it? And it's terrible and horrible and
everybody
all this
needs
stuff.
It.
I amen to that. But I've just been really, and again, it's being in your 30s, and I'm getting close to 40. I'm 37, so I'm just getting so reflective. But I'm like, why am I so drawn? Because I don't have a natural talent like you do. I'm not like, oh, Heather is a comedian. Heather is a painter. Heather's this. Heather's that. I don't know what I am. I talk a lot to people, but I'm like, why am I so drawn to creative folks? Like, I listen to every episode of your show. Well, I love it.
Thank you.
And I've been pulled, and I've been like, why, what is it about creative folks? And I think it goes back to that original pull towards God and deeper purpose and calling, because to be a creative person, it seems as though you have to have an element of detachment where you kind of live in this state of wonder and curiosity. And even though not everybody believes in like a physical muse, whether that's a real thing or not, there is an element of something else kind of taking over and stepping in. Like you work really hard in the four stages of flow. You struggle and then you walk away and you take a break and then an idea appears. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so cool and mysterious and interesting. And it's been kind of a substitute for a lot of religion for me lately, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
That's kind of weird. But all that to say in preference, do you believe in any kind of muse other thing coming in, or do you think it's just diligent hard work and a skill set?
There is a timing to everything. I don't know what is driving that, but there is a certain rhythm to breakthroughs. I can speak from my own life, at least, of me wanting something. Oh, now is the time. Now it needs it. And then 5 years later, there's gratitude that none of that happened in the moment. And just like in the creative process of, I'm going to sit down and write the best joke I've ever written instead of just writing down for the sake of creating, because I can tell you from joke writing, it's you write 20 jokes and maybe keep one of them.
Yeah.
And you learn how to keep one of them by going out at night to open mics in front of four people and seeing what gets a reaction and what doesn't. And you just do that over and over again. And eventually it's like people see an hour of stand-up, but there's countless hours that went into a comedian developing just a single hour of stand-up.
Yeah.
It takes years for most people. It takes years and years. It took me 10 years to get my first one. I know now people are doing it sooner for whatever they want their comedy career to be. But before the internet was so prevalent, it was you just hone this thing for a long time and then you put it together. Mm. So it's people aren't as precious with that material anymore. So I think there's good and bad. Maybe the quality's lower, but the output is higher. So you're actually trying more and you're failing more and you're discovering more in that process. And you're not being so precious with everything. So I think there is a certain timing that for me, like we referenced earlier with my YouTube channel, that I kept creating these video essays with an expectation in mind that, oh, I'm going to create this video about this comedian and they're going to love it and they're going to share it and all this. Instead of, well, what do I want to watch? What would I be interested in?
Yeah.
What would I want
so real.
To share?
That's you know? So real.
And I'm grateful in hindsight that those aren't the videos that took off, because it put me on this path to figuring out, okay, well, that was expensive and that didn't do. I learned a lot from doing it, but that wasn't the thing. So what is the thing? And trusting, as I said a few minutes ago, I still don't necessarily know. I'm doing a lot of work and being very proactive in seeking it and just trusting the process. And I think combining that with the spirituality of whatever's in God's time will be, and just trusting that it's, you know, you've never gone without. It always eventually works out, or you always find a way. So just trusting from the past that, okay, I've always found a way before. So I'm on the right path. I'm doing things with intention. So eventually something will, quote, catch on.
Yeah.
Which for me, I hope eventually I just have to host a garden show. And all I do, if I do travel, I'm just traveling the gardens with my wife and we're just touring amazing gardens. And there's a guy in England called Monty Don, and that's all he does. And I want to do that here. So I'm starting to create gardening content, playing around with it. It's an outlet for me to not have any genuine, no expectation.
Yeah.
Of anyone watching it. It's just, this is fun to do.
Yeah.
And it gives me energy. And whatever comes of that, I'm great with. So you even just saying you really enjoy it, I enjoy doing it. So I'm going to keep doing it. And I was just filming a video last night of me making a compost bin. So
The latest one, I thought that was like weed on the...
Oh, the broccoli sprouts.
Oh, or those broccoli sprouts. Okay. I was like, I don't think Joel smokes weed.
They're broccoli sprouts.
My volume was down. I didn't listen to what he said. But to validate what you're saying, what's so interesting about that, and I've been really having to check myself too with like, do I resonate with this? Which sounds crazy if you made it. You'd think you would, but not always. Not always. I am not a comedian. I listen to your podcast. I don't garden. I don't know anything about gardening. But I love your gardening content. And I think that maybe the takeaway there is when you as a creator are really having fun and aligned and really in flow, back to the word connection, there's something that energetically connects us to that, mm-hmm. whether it, you know, we're gardeners or not, whether we're comedians or not, because we love to see somebody lit up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you can feel the difference when you, yeah. when you're consuming something that is coming from a pure place or is coming from that energy. I think it was the Excel. There's that lady online who blew up talking about Excel stuff. I think she's known as like the Excel lady or something.
Oh, yeah.
But I heard her talking about it's the energy behind what she's doing is why people that don't even know about Excel or use Excel still watch her stuff because there's that energy. And she actually, before she films, will prime herself to bring this energy to the video before she even starts filming.
Do you do that?
I don't, no.
You don't Tony Robbins it and jump on the trampoline?
I don't. No, I don't. Maybe that's what I'm missing. I'm missing a cold plunge and a trampoline.
Ooh, okay. Have you done a cold plunge?
I've done an ice bath
before.
I was going
to say, you seem like the top of a cold plunge.
I haven't, not in many years. I think when I played sports, we would do it like an ice bath.
Oh, wow.
But now people have polar plunges in their house or whatnot. It's pretty cool.
And it's like another level of personal development. It's I feel like I'm personally developed, but that's like personally developed.
Yeah, I'm good. You know, I'll eat healthy and exercise and meditate and have gratitude. I don't know if I need to jump in cold water, even though you do feel really good after, but I don't really feel called to do that.
So when you talk about meditation, setting intention, all that stuff, do you have like a certain religion that you are, or are you just a spiritual dude? This is too personal.
No, I'm thinking, I mean, Christianity, I grew up a Christian.
What does that mean? That means a lot of things.
See, I don't know what any of that means. I mean, I went to non-denominational churches.
One.
Yeah. all the churches I went to were non-denominational.
Okay, same.
I don't know the difference between Baptist or Methodist or...
Yeah, but Jesus sat on the cross, rose again, Trinity, Holy Spirit, all that stuff.
I think... Okay. I don't know. My relationship...
Your church didn't do a good job.
I mean, I know... Well, those are the things that were preached, yes. And yeah. I know those are part of Christianity. I don't think I wake up... I don't wake up saying... I'm so glad Jesus died on the cross so I could wake up today and be alive.
Yeah.
When I pray, it's more about not thanking Jesus for dying on the cross. It's more of thanking just for the mindfulness to have gratitude, thanking for the health of my family, praying for the strength to be my best self, praying for myself to persevere, to trust in your timing. Which I guess is Christianity.
Yeah.
I honestly haven't given it that much thought. The last time I went to church was on YouTube. So I don't know. And that was a Presbyterian church.
Okay.
So, and I think they say it's like Presbyterian. It's kind of like hippie Christianity, kind of a little more woo-woo-y.
Sounds like my people.
Very accepting of all backgrounds and orientations and things like that. So I'm just all about people having the freedom to be their best selves and not, I don't, if someone's a different religion, I don't think of it in a different way. I don't think in sin either I don't pray for forgiveness of my sins or things like that. Maybe that's more connected to the cross and all that. I don't sit down and pray for forgiveness of my sins. It's more of just praying to be the best version of myself that you have created me to be.
Yeah.
And remember the gifts that you have blessed me with and make sure that I help instill those in every moment and every situation that I'm in.
Yeah.
But I haven't thought what religion I am. That's a very interesting question.
You are such an interesting person.
Because I look like a youth pastor, is that what?
No, it's you're so grounded and you don't talk about spirituality ever, but I always just felt like I'm like, he has a pretty close tight knit to something. But you can't be in the South. Be in the South and grow up in church and not have like some kind of gang you're a part of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I envy that because I'm deconstructing a lot of stuff. And I agree with everything you said. And I believe I believe, almost exactly how I did when I was younger. It's just so much wider and expansive. But I'm just having to unravel so much. And it seems like you, I guess I'm jealous of your groundedness.
No, what? Wait, you seem to be doing great.
No, I'm not grounded. I'm working. That's why I'm in therapy.
You're on the floor right now. You're grounded.
One foot. You're in the chair. Both feet. You're here. Both feet.
Yeah, I don't have the answers. I'm looking for them too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some people find the answers through religion. Yeah. Some people find them, think they find them in different ways. I was going to say drugs or alcohol, but I don't.
Which you totally do. You're just a maniac over there.
Me. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. I'm all about, popping broccoli sprout, rolling up broccoli sprouts. And
I swear, I thought that was weed. I was like.
I mean, that was a joke of it. So, yeah.
Oh, it was a joke? Okay, good.
That was a joke. Good. Yeah, it was supposed to be fun. It was just something fun. I had laid those out to dry, and then I was about to go water the roses. So I was just making a video just for fun.
I've never smoked weed. Have you ever smoked weed?
You've never smoked weed?
Ever.
Yeah, I've definitely smoked weed. For sure. Oh, yeah. I've definitely drank, too. For sure. And it got to a point in my life where it just wasn't fun anymore.
That's because you're getting old.
The hangover on everything. even the hangover, if I eat too much sugar, I was like, oh my gosh. The next 3 days, I have like rosacea. And then the next 2 weeks, I'm edgy and
I know.
And the same with alcohol and, smoking weed. None of it. The hangover never became worse, and every time I started to consume one of these things, because sugar's up there for me too, is like a drug. That it was, I was always, as I was consuming it, I was always looking for more. I was never grateful for what I did have in that moment. I was always wanting to drink more, eat more, smoke more. It got to a point. I mean, I didn't have to go to rehab or anything. Yeah. I just had to. Come to the realization that, you're not in your early 20s anymore. You're not in college. Right. This isn't cool. Right. You have things you want to do. And drinking,
come on,
the next 3 days, you're done. Yeah. And then you have anxiety. I saw a big connection between anxiety and all of that.
Same.
So, I don't do any of it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so personally developed, dude. God.
No, I'm very intentional. I'm not perfect. I mean, I had shows in Sonoma a few months ago, which is wine country, and I drank wine there.
Yeah.
But I'm mindful that I'm here in the moment and being present with this, and it's not something I'm going to continue to do. And even after doing that for a few days, when I got home, I would have the thoughts of, let's drink. It's never enough.
It's a weird thing.
So,
no, I feel you on
that. You have to be very careful with it.
Yeah, I've been having to have I drink, and I've noticed definitely after 30, I'm like, dang, this is hitting different. This is crazy.
It's all the way different.
But also too, wanting to, the ideation process is just not easy for me. I'm very rigid and type A and black and white, and so I've been trying to be more playful and expansive and open myself to be more aware and taking things in, and. Anything that inhibits that, even if it was like last Tuesday, it interferes with your openness. And again, this isn't to like poo-poo on people who do whatever, but
of course not.
It is. I think part two, just getting older. I don't know.
Yeah, if people want to do, you do.
If you
want to
drink, fine.
Do whatever you want to do. Yeah, I'm not here to tell anyone not to do anything they don't want to do for sure. I just know for me, what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah,
and there is, thinking, clarity, optimism, even. Mm. I mean, I would find a connection. One with, it's funny. People connect marijuana to free thinking and creativity. Anytime I did it, any idea I had when I was high was never good. When I would write a joke high and be like, I'm a genius. And I would read it later and be like, what does this even mean? and then I would be in this fog for a week or two. And when I'm normally an optimistic, upbeat person, I would be a little more pessimistic and more introverted and less outgoing and less ambitious. There were just so many contraries to when I consume these things to where I want to be and who I want to be. They were just in complete conflict. Mm-hmm. So at some point, you just have to decide what kind of person you want to be, which is what I'm still working on. But a big breakthrough was, oh, I don't need to drink or smoke to be a version of myself that I once was.
Yeah,
I'm different now, and that's totally cool to be that way.
I want to go back to when you were talking about kind of the strategy originally behind your YouTube to reach certain folks, and then kind of this call that you were just recently sharing to, like, be present in the moment, because, and you know this, it's not an either or, it's like a yes and, figuring out how to use strategy to serve your higher good and who you want to be. And I'm curious how you kind of measure that now, because it's not like you're like, I'm just going to be in the moment and I'm zen life. Like, you're busting your ass.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even talk about, I need an update on your show, because you were, I don't know if inquired is the word, but working with a...
I did for a year.
Oh, did that stop?
It was something we did for a year. Yeah. So it was another thing of, oh, here we go. And then, yeah. Oh, no, that wasn't the thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But you're pushing the ball forward constantly.
Right. Yes, and yes, yes.
What you have accomplished is pretty badass. Like, people love you. I don't know if you realize this.
No.
I have friends who don't know that I know you. And we talk about, like, creativity. So, like, oh, yeah, there's this show called Hot Breath. And this guy named Joe. I'm like, I know
him. Oh, my gosh.
Like, what you've done in the community is just incredible. And so I know that you are an ambitious dude with dreams and vision and goals. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, how do you now try to temper pushing the ball forward and being faithful with what you've been given and mm-hmm. the call on your life, while also, side note, being the best version of yourself and not falling into whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it comes down to authenticity for me.
Authenticity.
Authenticity for me. And just even with, like, the podcast, for instance, for a long time, and me joining that network last year, the whole thing was, okay, cool. I'll join this network and now get a bigger audience mm-hmm. and be able to get advertisers and things like that. And then none of that ended up panning out. And what I realized is, like you said, I mean, people love the show. The people that love the show love it, and they listen to all of it. And anytime I go to a comedy show, I meet several people that love it and
yeah.
almost give their – a lot of people – have to give me their testimony of how Hot Breath changed their life. It's it's very rewarding.
That's
and
cool.
It's the accumulation of those moments at comedy shows and at comedy festivals that helped me to realize, oh, the show is successful. The show is what it's supposed to be. It doesn't have to reach every comedy fan. It's for comedians and yeah. aspiring comedians and people who really love learning about comedy, whether they're comedians or not. And I'm great with that. And what feels authentic in actually the mindset shift is now, instead of chasing all these interviews, I now do a weekly live stream with a co-host.
Which is excellent.
Named Yoshi, who yeah. took my classes years ago, who we've just been friends ever since type deal. So now we co-host the show where we talk about our comedy journeys mm-hmm. and we take questions from the community. And I still sprinkle in interviews mm-hmm. periodically, but the show is about the community.
Yeah.
And that's where the authenticity comes from, that, oh, I'm actually creating for people that are already here and not trying to acquire new people.
That's easy to be like, oh, that's sweet, but that's actually really hard to do, I think, as an ambitious person, to
it's
make
been a
you
process.
Stay
yeah.
grounded in that.
Mm-hmm. And then to also think, okay, cool, but money as well. So what I've found most recently is trying to find the overlap between who I am as authentically as a person, who I am authentically as a podcaster, who I am authentically as a comedian, and what you referenced earlier is this clean comedy theme.
Yeah.
So what I just discovered is I brought up the idea of doing a clean comedy workshop. And I had like 30, at the time there were like 30 people for the first one that joined like a wait list to do it. And then I've done it twice now and both have sold out. And I have like a growing wait list for people that want to do this workshop that for the longest I was trying to figure out how to get sponsors or how to get people to join Patreon or how to just get something.
Yeah.
Basically, I created this thing, now how do I get from it? And when I shifted to, okay, how do I give? What are they missing? There's all the education out there, but there's nothing about clean comedy and how you can do clean comedy and start booking these clean gigs that actually pay better.
Right.
And I realized that's not out there. And I'm a clean comedian. I'm very passionate about helping others at least learn the skill sets. So if an opportunity does arise,
right,
that they're ready. I met a comedian who turned down a church gig, paid $500. He had to do 10 minutes and he couldn't do it because he didn't have 10 clean minutes. Oh, so I was just like, wow, if there was just a workshop where they could take a workshop and then learn how to write clean for when they need to be booked clean. And it's completely in line with who I am, what I do outside of the podcast.
Right, right.
And I'm now starting a clean comedy festival that I'm doing in,
oh, cool,
in April as well. So through all this self-reflection and coming from a place of authenticity, I found this thread of clean comedy and helping other comedians to learn clean comedy and give people access to clean comedy, because comedy's huge, but clean comedy, there's not as much out there. There's a lot of people who are famous, but they're not necessarily clean. So how can I fill that void to give people access to clean comedy and to showcase other clean comedians who are putting in the work as well? And even just to doing that, honestly, the past 3 months, 2 months, maybe that long, I've already had other opportunities of people reaching out to me, seeing I'm teaching, and are like, oh, could you come do something like that for my company? Or we want to have you, like, because clean comedy, the big value is you can perform in front of anyone, in front of all ages. And that's big in the corporate world. That's big in churches and things like that. So even just me starting to be more vulnerable and here's who I am. Here's what I like. Here's what you can expect from working with me. Here are my intentions. And that's starting to, as I referenced earlier, being open to receiving. That's really starting to, that's why I was happy to do this right now. Because when we talked last time, I was like, oh, I figured it out. This is it. And then now I'm sitting here with you again, like, I may have figured it out. This may be
that's
it.
All of
so
us,
in another
friend.
Year, it's going to be like,
it's all of us.
Yeah, right.
We all feel that. And to the vulnerability piece, one thing I appreciate about your show is there's not an, and this isn't just to compliment you, it's kind of a call to creatives and something that I really want to work on because I, as a listener, enjoy it. You're very open with process in a way that doesn't always, you're not trying to paint yourself in this light. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you talk about the struggles, like, and when you messed up and when things worked, and very, very open about, we went here, and I mean, you don't ever say like how much you got paid or anything like that, but this was free or this wasn't, or you know, the reality of the world. And I think it's interesting because I know there's this pressure from people who are putting their voice out there online that in order to be respected, we need to paint ourselves in a certain light. But it's interesting how people like you prove that the opposite is true, that when you can really air like what's going on in reality, like open book, open heart, open hands, people actually trust you more, respect you more, and are drawn and gravitated towards that.
Yeah, that's all the feedback I get as well, that people appreciate that I don't have it all figured out and I don't act like I know it all.
Yeah.
I just share what I know from experience.
Right.
And people can do with that information what they will. But it is, because I like to learn and grow and have a growth mindset. And sometimes you listen to other podcasts and things like that, and people do try to be too polished. And I think people are starting to see through that more. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what is the difference is the authenticity and just, hey, I have this idea. We'll see what happens. Or I had this idea and it didn't quite pan out. Here's what I learned from it that maybe you could apply to when you have a big idea you're excited about.
Yeah.
But it is very intentional. And I am very mindful of making sure that anything I talk about doesn't come from a place of above anyone.
Yeah.
But more, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Here's what my experience has been.
Yeah. What are you curious about right now? Just in life, what are you exploring, thinking about in terms of your career? What's kind of nudging you? Is it the garden stuff?
I'm most excited about this gardening stuff. I'm telling, I'm I'm Why? So what jazzed is, what is about it. About it?
What is it about it?
It's fun, and it's easy in a sense that it doesn't. I think because I have nothing attached to it beyond just I enjoy it, and the most important part is that it's something my wife and I can do together.
Yeah.
So she's not in the content. She would never be in the content. Oh, our roses, I think we already have like 40 is what we counted. My wife has a whole spreadsheet of our garden and where things are and where she wants things to be. She's type A? Yeah, she is Excel. Okay. She's the Excel sheet. Yeah. So and that's important. We balance each other out very well in that sense. And I think at the root of it, though, it is when I was looking at my life and continue to, and where do I want to be in 10 years? What do I want my life to look like?
Hmm.
Me being on the road every weekend is not what I want to do. Even I don't care how much money I'm making. I want to be home, you know?
Yeah.
And I've even talked to friends who are doing well with like Netflix specials or whatnot. And they are like, oh, I'm gone a lot. And you know, that's just part of the job.
Yeah.
So the gardening actually allows me to be home, spend quality time with my wife, and have fun and be creative and still be my authentic self and apply all these skills I've learned from creating comedy content for so many years, creating podcasts for so many years, creating these storytelling video essays for a while that we've talked about on the last episode. It feels like an amalgamation of all those skills. I had to pause on it. I was like, SAT word coming at you. And then it just feels like a combination of all those things.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's fun. And I think gardening, like comedy, has a positive impact on people's health. And
yeah,
it just seems like it seems untapped as well. Seems
they're
like
alive. I mean, yeah, there's literal life going through them.
It's very exciting.
Do you feel guilty, comfortable letting yourself not work? How do you deal with that?
Oh, I'm working. What do you mean? You just said I work all the time.
The gardening, like detaching from stuff and letting yourself.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm super ashamed to say, like, that is so hard for me. I think because I've had to work so hard to get to where I'm at, and where I'm at is like nothing, but it's somewhere.
What?
It's somewhere compared.
Don't say that.
No.
Don't you say that.
You know what I'm saying?
Take it back.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what you do have didn't just come. It's something that was so intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really hard for me to detach from that sometimes and allow myself to be a human and play and have fun. And I envy you because I think, wow, I want to go play in a freaking garden. When I'm doing the garden, you know what I'm doing there? I'm sitting there noting ideas for stuff and like checking my email and stuff. And I hate to admit that to you, but it's just the truth. And I'm just curious, like, are you able to do that naturally?
I'm better at it. I used to not be for a long time. And you remember what you said earlier of like the flow state of you take a step back.
It's research. It's true.
It takes a step back. You really do have to let things process and find a mindless habit, something that you can get away from. So for me, gardening, it's not in the middle of the day I'm out there gardening instead of working. You know, after work, especially now since daylight savings, we have so much more daylight in the evening, which has been great, that I can work during the day and then know, oh, I have this time just to carve out for myself afterwards.
Yeah.
And yes, I've worked. I have done the mindset of always working, never resting or never finding that balance. And I saw where that was getting me.
Mm.
And I saw the results I was getting from that. So it's, what do you want your life to be at the end of the day? Do you want to have to feel like you always have to work? Or do you want to be so in control of your life that, oh, I can find energy from working and also energy from not working and really just finding that balance and what it means to you and whatever your outlet is to do that. But I say all that to say, I don't have any of the answers. I'm still trying to find my own.
But you're asking good questions. And I think the takeaway from this, and we got to wrap it up here, but for me, what you've said over and over again is pulling yourself to this future Joel, this future Heather, and really asking yourself, who do I want to be? And I know that seems like we should know the answer to that, but I think I know I get so caught up in 24/7
yep.
that I don't pause and say what Heather wanted to be last year. Is that still who you want to be in 2024? Is that still your vision? And reconnecting yeah. with that's so important. So yeah. thank you for your vulnerability sitting through this.
Of course.
What do you believe? What's your spirituality?
I know. You're like, what religion are you? I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. Is there a couch I can lay on and figure this out? And I'm still trying to figure it out. I think it's just being intentional.
I know.
Making the decision.
I know.
Okay, I want to figure this out. I don't know how or where to start, but just setting that intention of, I want to figure this out.
That I know.
People, and it's the questions we're asking now, people won't ask until they're in their 80s and they're like, oh no, what, you know what I mean? So it's not too late. And people in their,
people older than us
listening to this yep. are like, these kids have no idea. So, and the people younger are like, oh, they're so old, it's over for them. But I think asking the questions is where it starts.
Come on.
Being intentional about doing that work.
Come on. Speaking of questions, I got one more left for you.
Yes.
But before then, thank you. You didn't have to do this.
Thank you for having me.
No, really. Thank you for taking time out of your day to sit here and also just to your work. I think a lot of you, I know I don't know you, but I feel your energy. I feel your vibe. I listen to you all the time. And it's just so encouraging to see creative people out there who genuinely care about people.
Mm.
And it's been challenging to me even just sitting here to really check in and make sure that we're in alignment with our highest self. So there's my deep spiel for the day.
Thank you.
Just really appreciate
you. Appreciate you saying that.
What do you want to direct our folks to? Clean comedy workshops, your podcasts? What do you want to plug? Yeah.
My website is joelbyerscomedy.com, which will hopefully be fixed by now.
I'm laughing because it's down right now.
Yeah, it's down right now.
But
it's
there's a Google form.
So that you can fill out if you have any questions or want to book me or whatnot. But that's also, you know, I was all this positive momentum. These workshops were selling out. I have this clean comedy festival. I found alignment. And then my website out of nowhere just crashes.
That's what happened.
So that's what I'm it's all ups and downs and just appreciating the peaks and valleys. So my website is where you can get in contact with me. My podcast is called Hot Breath. And that's on YouTube and all podcast platforms. Anything I can do to help people, just connect with them. They reach out with gratitude. They heard this episode or they have a question or they want to do a show together or whatnot. I'm here for it.
And check you out on IG for the gardening tips.
Yes. Joel Byers Comedy is my IG. I started one called My Wife's Gardener.
No, I didn't know that.
I haven't posted anything to it yet, but I got the handle. So we're working towards it, you know, but I do see the gardening thing as a whole other creative outlet separate from the comedy, yeah.
Anyways, I could go off about that. But very last question is, what are you questioning? That's what I've been asking folks. Something in your life right now that's a big question mark for you that you do not have the answer to. It could be something small.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something deep. You pick. What's a big question you have right now?
It's, who do I want to be? Is the big one. Yeah. And then what do I want to be? With that information, then who do I want to be and what do I want to be? Yeah. I don't know. I'm figuring it out. To be continued. We'll have a yearly episode.
Next year, like, how's the gardening going? And you're like, I'm not doing it anymore.
Everything's dead. It's over. I'm back to Enterprise Rent-A-Car. I started all the way over.
Hit me up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Joel, thanks for doing this. It's awesome.
Thanks for having me, Heather.